As the hype surrounding the 2019 Women's World Cup continues to increase the closer we get to the tournament, so does the scrutiny surrounding the Lionesses squad heading off to France. We've seen plenty of them in action on the field over the last few months, but what is it that makes them so good? What is it that will make opposition teams fear them? And what is it that could potentially lead them to lifting the trophy for the first time on the 7th of July? We've heard from Lionesses past and present so far on our Sportspiel World Cup specials, but now it's time to really delve into the class of 2019 with someone who has played with and against each member of the squad for a number of years and therefore knows them inside out. Following her fantastic interview back in March, we are lucky to welcome Remy Allen back onto the show to give us a fascinating in-depth lowdown on the 23 Lionesses who could be bringing football home in just a few weeks. Welcome listeners to our latest Women's World Cup Sportspiel special, where today we'll be getting a real in-depth insight into the England team and finding out all about the 23 players with the help of Remy Allen. First of all, Remy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you back. I know your previous episode went down really, really well, so a lot of people like listening to you, which is great, so thank you for coming on. And first of all, before we get into the real nitty-gritty of this team, how excited are you for this tournament?
Really excited. I can't wait to watch. I think obviously the build-up has been huge, and you see all the, you know, the media stuff and everything that's going about, and it's really publicising it really, really well, especially for the Lionesses. So each thing that I see, I'm getting more and more excited, and obviously I've got all my best friends out there playing and a lot of other friends out there, so I'm really excited to watch.
That squad announcement caused a lot of talk on social media. Did you, obviously, you knew Jade was in the squad. Did you know that was coming, or was it as much of a shock to you as it was to everyone else?
The girls didn't even know it was coming the way it was announced, so it was definitely a shock to me. It was interesting. I actually got a shout from Jade from the other room saying, "Have you got BBC Breakfast on?" And I was like, "No, why?" And she's like, "Oh, I've just been named in the squad." And obviously then I went on social media and seen it, and I thought it was an amazing way to announce a squad, and especially for the individual players, it must be a great feeling to have people like that coming out and saying it for them.
Must have been. It's really important as well, because it opened up to a whole new fan base, people who follow these celebrities so much, and if the celebrity is endorsing women's football, then they're endorsing these players, therefore they should watch. Is that something that you felt was really important too?
Yeah, I thought it was really clever. Whoever decided to do it like that, I think did it really, really well, and it gives us more exposure. And like you said, people who probably didn't even know the World Cup was on, you know, all of a sudden you've got James Corden introducing Ellen, and all the people that follow him then all of a sudden know this, you know, there's a World Cup and England are in it, and you know, it just publicises it. And I think if that doesn't get more people watching, then not a lot will.
How important is this tournament for the growth of women's football?
I think it's huge. I think year by year it's getting bigger and bigger, but I think this is the world stage, and these are the moments that sort of can push us on even further. I think, you know, you look at each country and they seem to have really bought into this, and the media and the exposure that every country is getting is amazing. And I think it'll be a success, you know, hopefully it'll be a success for England, but no matter what, I think it can only publicise and grow the game and, you know, allow more females, more young girls to become professional footballers, and ultimately that's the aim.
And you mentioned England there. I guess it's now time for us to really delve into this team and get your insight into each player. We'll start off at the back with the goalkeepers. There are three goalkeepers who equally could be the number one for this tournament, but do you think that by the nature of the fact that she played against Denmark at the weekend just gone as we record, that Karen Barnes is going to be wearing that shirt, or do you think that Carly Telford or Mary Earps could still find themselves in goal and come that first game?
I think by the looks of it, it will be KB from what I see. I think all three of them are amazing, and all three of them in their own right can play. I think maybe with KB's experience, she probably just edges it, and I think in, you know, tough situations, that experience is vital, and she pulls off some unbelievable saves. I mean, I was lucky to play with her at Lincoln Ladies, and some of the saves she used to do, I used to be like, wow, I don't think any of a female goalkeeper would ever get there, you know, like top corner saves. And she's got a lot of presence. I just think that potentially that experience she's got will probably tip her to be the number one.
Is it
a slight worry though that she missed quite a large chunk of the season with injury and then was behind Ellie Roebuck at Man City, or is by the nature of her experience having played in so many tournaments, will that not really count for anything?
I mean, obviously you want your goalkeeper, your number one goalkeeper, to be playing week in, week out. However, knowing KB, she's the ultimate professional, so she would have been doing everything from the minute of her getting injured to her getting back into the starting lineup to be ready and to be fit. So it's not ideal, but I think if anyone's able to, you know, sort of get in that mindset and, you know, get fit and strong and be ready, it is KB.
Do you think Ellie Roebuck can consider herself to be slightly unlucky not to have made the trip, considering how well she played for City this season?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, she's starting for Man City, one of the best teams in the league, and I think she's a very, very, very good goalkeeper. I think maybe age has potentially killed her for this trip. I don't know, but she's definitely one for the future, and you've got to tip her at some point to, you know, be in England number one. So yeah, I think she can be a little bit disappointed, but I think if she looks at her season, she's had an unbelievable season, so it's only going to get bigger and better for her.
And I guess that's something that must be really exciting, in that Siobhan Chamberlain as well also didn't make the squad, so we've got two high quality goalkeepers here that haven't been picked for this tournament. That must be a massive confidence boost for the sort of the setup of goalkeepers around this country, considering some of the comments that are made about goalkeepers by certain people.
Yeah, I mean, they get a hammering, don't they? They really do. But I think, like you said, you've got five goalkeepers there. I think back in the day, we would have struggled to maybe have one or two goalkeepers that, you know, were high enough quality for international level. So that only shows how much the improvement in the game has come on, and how much, you know, that goalkeepers are getting one-to-one training sessions every single day. It's professional. You can't expect them to be at the top of their game if they don't have that, whereas they have that now, and it's no surprise that these keepers are coming through and, you know, are fitter, stronger, faster, can play, shot stopping, everything's improved for them, and so it should.
One of those keepers who has really seen the benefits of those improvements alongside Karen Barnsley is Carly Telford. She's also in the squad. She's only got 15 caps to her name, though. Do you think she's slightly unlucky to have sort of been grown up in the same generation as Karen Barnsley?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how goalkeepers do it if they're not number one. I think I'd struggle personally, because you always want to play. And I think she is really unfortunate, because I think at most other nations, she'd probably be your number one. Unfortunately, we've had Karen Barnsley, who's been at the top of her game for so many years. But knowing Carly, she's a great girl, she's a bubbly character, and, you know, she's a professional as well, so she'll be doing everything that she can to push KB, but also support her. And I think, yeah, she'll probably be a bit gutty, but she's the ultimate professional in herself as well, so it'll be great for her to be at the tournament, and if she's called upon, no doubt she'll be ready.
You mentioned her bubbly character as well. That's something we have at Great Britain Hockey with Amy Tennant. A real character, and she's often the person that people go to when something is maybe gone slightly wrong, and she's sort of the one that helps pick the squad up. Do you think that's going to be one of Carly's main roles, as well as her actual goalkeeper, but also being able to help pick the squad up if things aren't going quite their way with her bubbly character?
Yeah, definitely. I think sometimes when you're not playing, you can have a slightly different perspective to the ones who are playing, who maybe are going through a tough time and have had a difficult game. No doubt Carly's the kind of person that, you know, will get an arm around someone and support them and help them through, and also be a bit of a clown, be a bit of a joker, and, you know, lift spirits and whatnot. And I know that they have a very great sort of GK union, as they call it there, and they're all very together and support each other really well, so should be key for that.
Another goalkeeper who seems to have a bit of character, as we saw in a GIF actually on sort of the day of the squad announcement, is Mary Earps.
Yeah.
Obviously, a former teammate of yours, so you must have been delighted to see that she made the squad.
Yeah, I was so happy for her. I know how driven and how much she wants it. She's a crazy character, and I had a lot of laughs with her when she was here at Reading. So yeah, I was buzzing as soon as I seen that she was in, and, you know, I dropped her a message. So I'm really, really happy for her, and I hope she goes and enjoys the experience.
Do you see it as a reward for her, given that it was a bold move to go to Wolfsburg this season, but it seems to have paid off, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I think you know, obviously I'm sure Phil and the staff have been, you know, watching her and keeping an eye on her and seeing where she's at, as obviously they would. It's no surprise to me, because Mary, again, I know I keep saying about all of them, is the ultimate professional. She wants more, she wants more sessions, you know, she drives standards, she's really good with stuff like that. So she would have put herself in the best possible position. And I think for her, you know, going and training and being at one of the best clubs in the world was a huge opportunity for her, one that she couldn't turn down. So it doesn't surprise me that she's gone at all. I think she deserves to be there.
And she's been playing in a team that features the likes of Peniel Harder, Lena Gosling, Alexandra Popp, and in that league, the Bundesliga, some of the best players in the world. And it's a different style. How important will that be, that she's played against these different types of players, different styles, bringing that then into this team?
Well, it's experience that most of us don't have, and a lot of the England girls don't have unless they've gone abroad and played themselves. So I think that's vital. I think, you know, she'll know players, she'll know them inside out, she'll know what they're like, what makes them tick and whatnot. So that can only be a benefit for psychologically, for her and for the team as well. So I think it's invaluable.
And that brings to a conclusion the first part of the show. Goalkeepers are covered. After this short break, we'll be moving on to the defence.
You're listening to Sportspiel, available on Audioboom, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, listeners, and it's time to move on to England's defenders. And I guess, first of all, we must talk about Steph Horton. I guess whenever I see her play, I quite often compare her to the likes of Virgil van Dijk, because she just seems to be in the right place at the right time. But she's better at scoring goals than him, let's be honest. Is that a fair assessment for me to make?
Yeah, I think, obviously, I've known Steph for a long time and watched sort of her development as year goes by, and I think literally she's one of them players that to me seems to be getting better and better as she gets older. I think being a captain of Man City, being the captain of England, has added a maturity to her game, and she seems, you know, an even better person than she originally was, and, you know, that's testament to her. I think she seems like, on the ball, Steph's always had quality. She can always find a pass, long, short. She's got that. She's got that within her. I think her defensively now, I think she's improved no end. Her 1v1 defending, her reading of the game has come on leaps and bounds. And I think she really does show a key leadership to both City and England when she plays. And I think when she doesn't, they miss her, both teams. So that says a lot about her. And you know, I'm excited to watch her this World Cup, because when there seems to be a big tournament, Steph really seems to show up, so it's exciting.
You mentioned there how teams, when she's not in them, seem to not be quite the same. It was noticeable in that warm-up game against Denmark at the weekend that there was sort of at times a lack of communication between the defence and the goalkeeper and the midfield. Is that something that Steph in particular really brings, that really sort of loud voice on the pitch?
Yeah, I think she's demanding. I think she, you know, she wants her best. She wants to sort of dictate and communicate to whether it's her back line, midfielders or whatnot. I think in the Denmark game it was difficult because it's probably a back line that haven't really played with each other, so you're asking a lot against a very good Denmark side. But I definitely think Steph, you know, will demand certain things when she's on the pitch, and she's so used to that role now. You have to grow as a captain, and I think she really has. So I think her being in there is a huge, huge thing for England and for them to move forward and, you know, play well.
And you've come up against her quite a few times in your career. What's she like to play against? Is she quite difficult?
She's competitive, she's feisty, she wants to win. She's like, obviously, like most of us are. She's a great person, Steph, a great girl. And I always, you know, as soon as the game's finished, can have a conversation, have a laugh with her. But she's a warrior, and when she's on the pitch, she wants to win. And I think there's no coincidence that she's, you know, won so many things in her career. Shows that when she plays, so she's good to play against. So I enjoy it.
Hopefully that noise in the background wasn't too loud. I guess there's still a little bit of debate as to who's going to line up alongside her at centre back. Millie Bright has the most caps, but Abby McManus has also had a fantastic season. Leah Williamson is also breaking through into this side. I guess do you have a view on who Phil Neville might pick alongside Steph?
I can only see it being Millie, if I'm being honest. I think, obviously, she's got a lot more experience than the other two. She's a president, she's a unit, she's very good in the air. She's good on the ball as well. I haven't seen another centre-half be able to hit a long-range pass like she does at times, off both feet. So I'd be surprised if it wasn't Millie who was starting, but you know, I'm not the manager, so what do I know? It could be completely different, but I would probably go with Millie.
Would there be that thinking, though, in his mind that Horton and McManus have played a large proportion of the season together at Man City and might have that better connection, or is it because Steph and Millie have played so many times together now that they already have that in place?
You know, I think, obviously, at City, I think Steph's been partnered by Jennifer Beattie probably more than Abby McManus at times, so whether that will come into his head, I'm not so sure. But obviously Millie and Steph together have played quite a few times now, so I think that gives them a little bit of an edge. But you know, there's a lot of different games, so they could, he could use different players in different games, but I just think probably you're starting to, I would be surprised if it wasn't Millie and Steph.
Is Phil Neville likely to sort of change the team depending on the game, depending on the opposition, or is he going to have a sort of set 11 and try and stick with them for as much as possible, for as long as possible, for the continuity?
Do you know what, I think this is the beauty of it being a World Cup and his first tournament, because let's be honest, not a lot of us really know what Phil's going to do, because he's never been in this position before. He's got an unbelievable squad there, and every single player can step up and play if needed, so he's got the beauty of being able to change systems or change players. And you know, whether we know what even his strongest 11 is yet, we're not so sure. So it will be very interesting. I think he's got a lot of flexibility there to do what he wants. So it'll be exciting to see.
And we mentioned Williamson there. I think she's one of the youngest players in the squad, one of the least experienced players in the squad. Probably the least likely of the centre-backs to get too much playing time. But how great will the whole experience of going to a World Cup for her be just at the age of 22?
Unbelievable. And I really, really rate Leah. And I think in the future she will be a starting centre-half for England. I think, like you said, it's difficult. She's come in quite young. And I think sometimes in major tournaments that potentially works against you, because you like to go with experience, which I get. I think she'll be just taking everything in and enjoying every second of it, and you know, trying to learn and trying to become better from this. And then in years to come, I have no doubt that she'll be walking out with him and playing in the games.
We move on now to the left back debate, possibly one of the biggest debates in the squad: Greenwood versus Stokes. From your perspective, what are the different qualities the two players bring?
I think when I look at Demi Stokes, I see a very sort of resilient 1v1 defender who's, you know, quite headstrong and quite doesn't want to get beat in a 1v1 battle, and will, you know, be probably a little bit more conservative to what probably Alex Greenwood gives you. So I think in games where sort of England may not have so much of the ball, I think Demi Stokes might be the left back that plays, just because she gives you a lot of stability and a lot of resilience, whereas I think Alex has got one of the best left foots in the country, if not in Europe, if not in the world. Like, so I think her delivery from open play or from set plays is vital, and I think she likes to get forward, she likes to join in, and I think against teams where we have the ball a little bit more, she may suit that style of game. It's interesting to see which one he'll go with, or whether he'll chop and change, because they're both, you know, very, very good left backs, so at different games they might be needed.
Alex Greenwood obviously moved to Manchester United this summer, so moving down to a division, was that ever really a worry that she might not get selected because she'd moved down, or was her quality was just going to shine through and he would be picking her on that, not necessarily who she was playing for?
I mean, I think it's difficult because you never really know what a manager's thinking. He could have turned around and thought, no, I want you playing at the top level, or don't understand why you've gone down a level, or he could have fully supported her decision. I think there was no doubt, knowing Alex, that she was going to, you know, strive and push to be the very best left back that she could be, regardless of where she was at. And let's not forget, being at United is a top professional club, so she'd have everything in place to sort of be fit and be raring to go come the World Cup. So I think it wasn't a wrong decision, clearly, because she's at the World Cup and she had an amazing year with United. I think it was brave, because I don't think many players would do it, but I think her quality ultimately shone through.
Another player who's made a fairly brave decision in moving clubs, Lucy Bronze, moving over to Lyon. What is it about Lucy Bronze that makes her so good?
I think think it's the athlete that she is, and obviously having played against her, she was one of them players where I was just like, oh no, she was on my side of the pitch, which is what I'm going to get run ragged here. When she gets, when she picks up the ball and picks up top speed, there's no catching her. So she's one of them players that can run and run all day long, but with a lot of power, and I think you don't get many of them players in the game, so it's an absolute nightmare to come up against. And I think, you know, even in 1v1 situations when she's defending, when we've played against her and you want to get someone to run at her, it's very hard because she's so strong and powerful to sort of go by her. So I think athletically she's unbelievable, and she likes to bag a goal or two, so at major competitions as well, so she has a lot going for her.
I think we all remember her strike from 4 years ago, whether she meant it or not. I remember seeing Lucy Bronze, was it back in 2015 after the World Cup, playing for Man City against Sunderland, and thinking that what an exceptional player she was playing at right back. She's also played in the Sheba Leafs Cup as a central midfielder. Is that something you think Neville will persist with, or will he play her in the position that has made her into one of the best players in the world?
I would be surprised if she plays central midfield in this World Cup. I think Lucy's unbelievable, and her attributes suit to being a fullback, even a wide player, depending on how, what system you play or whatnot. I think it's a hell of a lot to ask for someone who's never played in a central midfield role to step into a World Cup and be thrown in the deep end and play there, especially when I look at the central midfielders that we do have. I think she seems to be that wide, but again, Phil might disagree, so I think we'll find out.
I'm sure one player who'll probably be thinking, please put her in central midfield, is Rachel Daly. She's sort of been the incumbent right back recently, but she's such a versatile player. She can play up front, she can play on both sides. How important is her versatility going to be as the tournament goes on?
I think it'll be huge. I think, obviously, we can all see that Lucy Bronze is the right back, everyone knows that. But I think with Rach, the fact that she can play in any position, and every time she's been asked to do a job, I actually think she's done really well. I think it was the, who did they play? Spain. I think she played fullback against Spain. I actually thought she did an exceptional job. And again, against when Lucy Bronze played in centre mid the game before, Rach played right back, and I actually thought she did really well again. So I think she can step in at any point, and especially in a World Cup, you know, it's a long time. Fatigue, injuries, you know, lack of form, all sorts of reasons why she might have to step in. And I thoroughly believe that she can do a job wherever she's put.
And how important is it in a squad to have someone who will just go out there and give it their all and excel in any position they're asked to?
Oh, it's huge. You need them players, and you know, some people will say, I don't want to be that player because I can't hold down one position. But I think for Rach going into this World Cup, knowing that she could step in and play up top, or she could play out wide, or she could play as a fullback, it gives her so much, you know, variety of, even if it's just like, we need to change it, you need to come on for 20 minutes, she's going to get to play in a World Cup at the end of the day, and I think she'll be relishing it and looking forward to it.
And we're certainly looking forward to seeing all our defenders play. We'll be back for part three very shortly. Part three, midfield time, so we'll go straight into it. Your teammate, your close friend Jade Moore, selected for the World Cup. When you found out that she'd been picked, how did you feel as such a close friend?
I was very proud. To be honest with you, I thoroughly expected it. I think she offers something that not many other centre mids can offer, but obviously it's a bit of a relief when she's here and you can breathe and you're like, yes, she's going, let's book the flights and stuff. But yeah, I'm just so excited, and I think she's had a torrid with injuries recently, so it was huge for her to sort of get herself back fit and back playing and, you know, back in contention, and now she's there, I just can't wait to watch her.
You mentioned the injuries there. I've obviously, working here, I see a lot of you guys in the gym, and Jade is someone in particular I would see in there every lunchtime working exceptionally hard, and I guess that must be the sort of attitude that is really required to excel at the top, is that just need to get through this and make sure I get back to the top, and Phil Neville must really like that.
Yeah, definitely, and I think that's one thing that Jade's always shown. You know, she's so diligent with everything, whether it's, you know, the prep before we go out and train, whether it's weights, whatever it is, she wants to do everything to the best of her ability, and she'll go above and beyond. And she has, with the injuries that she's had to overcome in the past 2 years, to be in a position, you know, to be selected for the World Cup, she's done, you know, she's done the extras, she's done extras on top of that, she's, you know, thinking about it when she's at home, looking after herself and whatnot, and I get to see that firsthand, so I know how hard she's worked, so it was, I was so happy for her when she got the call.
And what a way to be announced as well with Dan Walker. What was her reaction to that?
I think she was in a little bit of shock, to be honest. She was actually in bed and had BBC Breakfast on.
She was one of the first people,
yeah,
wasn't she?
And coincidentally had it on, and then he announced it while she was watching the telly, and I think, you know, then her phone didn't stop buzzing and her family were ringing and stuff, and I think it was a huge shock to her, but, you know, one that obviously she loved, and it was amazing to sort of be announced like that. But so yeah, she was happy, she's excited, she very, you know, keeps her emotions intact anyway, she shouldn't go over the top, but yeah, I think she's ready and excited now.
And she's sort of going to be featuring that holding role, Kira Walsh. Is she a potential sort of threat to that position? Is it a straight fight between the two of them? Or is there a case where we could actually see them playing alongside each other in the midfield in one game?
I actually said about this the other day, I know they haven't had an opportunity where they've played together yet, but I would be really intrigued to see how they get on, because I think as much as they're, you would class them as holding centre midfielders, they are so different and they offer so many different things, and I actually think they might complement each other very well, because obviously Kira likes to get on the ball and make things tick, and, you know, a range of passing is great. I think with Jade, the way she reads a game and breaks up play, I don't think any other centre midfielder can do that the way she does. And she's decent on the ball as well. So I think they may complement each other quite well. That may never happen. We may never know. So it could be, again, I think it might be one of them different games. They might want, Phil might want different things. So he might want someone who's in there to, you know, really bat and break up play, which may suit Jade, or you might want someone who wants to get the ball a little bit more and make things tick, which might suit Kira. So I think it'll be game dependent.
One thing that they do both seem to have in common, though, is they seem to be able to play exceptional long balls. We obviously saw Kira's at the Sheba Leafs Cup, but some of the balls Jade was playing against Denmark at the weekend were exceptional and exquisite. How important is that going to be for this England team, the opportunity for these holding midfielders to actually playing a long ball for the pace we've got up front to run onto it?
Yeah, it's huge. I think it's a massive outlet. And I think with probably Jade, people don't turn around and go, oh yeah, she's brilliant on the ball. But if you actually watch what she does on the ball, she's very effective. And like you said, against Denmark, she hit quite a few numbers of long balls. But we know Kira can do that as well and does it exceptionally well and has done for the past couple of years. And it's key, it's an outlet, it's, you know, if we've got to hit teams on the counter, we've got a lot of pace going forward, you've got them players in the middle, we've got a little bit of quality to feed them, then, you know, we can score goals from that or create chances, which is huge, so it's definitely going to be key for us.
And one of the players that could be benefiting from their long balls forward is Jill Scott, who was likely to line up alongside them in the centre of midfield. She was described this week by Katie Wyatt in The Telegraph as potentially one of the keys of the success for England this summer and as the glue of the team. How important is she to the Lionesses?
I think she's massive, and I think the thing with Jill, when I look back, is even when I was a kid, she was like one of them players who was a senior international and was performing then, and now I'm not a kid anymore, and she's still there and still so key to the England side. And I think she probably goes a little bit under the radar now because there's a lot of talent and new players coming through, but she's been consistently good for so, so long. And I think, you know, she, even in the past few years, I think on the ball she's improved so much. We've obviously been full time, it's made her even better, and she's always been fit, she's always been athletic, and I still think she has so much to offer. And it's kind of nice because she's been there for so long, and yet she's still so consistently good. I think she, you know, I think she completely wants being there to play.
You mentioned how she seems to go under the radar. She's one of those players that you sort of don't seem to notice, and then all of a sudden she's there scoring goals, she's there making a massively important tackle at the back. How difficult is she to play against?
Do you know what? Very difficult. And I actually have a laugh every time we play each other because she's obviously very tall and I'm obviously very small. And there's a lot of time where you think you've gone by her or something, or you think you've beat her, and these long legs come out of nowhere and hook the ball or whatnot. So she's a little bit unorthodox because of her size, but she can run with the ball, she can dribble, she can throw a tackle in, that's for sure. She can head a ball. I know she laughs about it. She says she's not actually that great in the air for her size, but she's a threat because of her size and whatnot. So she's her all-round game is brilliant, and I think it's huge for England this tournament.
She actually scored a header at the weekend,
didn't she, against Denmark?
I guess two more players are going to be fighting to be in that sort of midfield three or sort of attacking midfield role. Karen Carney and Georgia Stanway are the opposite ends of their careers, but both exceptionally talented. I guess going back to sort of previous debates, is it going to be a case of rotating between the two and depending on the game and the formation?
I think it definitely depends on formation, because obviously Kaz can play wide, and I think that can be a huge option for England in this tournament. Literally depending on game formation will depend on obviously who wants in there. I think with Kaz, her talent and her consistency for, again, as long as Jill has been around, has been unbelievable. And she's one of them players where people go, oh, has she still got it? When you play against her, you're like, wow, she has. We played against her back in the season and I was just like, she just is still as good as what she's always been. And I think she actually came on against Denmark and I really think she steadied the ship a little bit. And I think that experience that she brings and that quality of the ball can be vital in certain games. And then I look at Georgia Stanway and she's one of my favourite players at the moment. I think she just plays as if she's playing in the park with her mates and she's got no fear. And I think you need players like that in a tournament like this where they don't get overawed by the occasion or they don't get, you know, too nervous with you. She just seems like she literally, give me the ball, I want it, I want to make things happen. And she's not afraid to shoot, as we've seen. She scores so many goals from outside the box. She's not afraid to try and play a clever pass. And I think she can be, you know, a bit of a hidden gem this tournament.
One of the things I like about both players is they, whenever you do interviews and stuff with them, they always seem to come across as being really modest, humble and down to earth, as do a lot of the players. Is that something that is just sort of comes naturally to you, or is that something that is actually instilled to retain that humility?
I think it's pretty natural, to be honest with you. I think a lot of the players are just being themselves, and I think when you look at women's football, we've all come from nothing. We didn't walk into full-time football, being professional, earning money. Like, we were paying to play how many years ago? So I think you are humbled by it and you do really appreciate how far the game has gone. And you look at it every single day and you think how lucky you are that you get to do this. So I think that sort of being modest is very natural to most of the players.
Another player who's had to come through a lot of tough times when she was younger is our final midfielder, Lucy Staniforth. Probably the least likely to force her way into the starting lineup in this tournament, but how important an impact sub could she be? Because she scores some absolute worldies.
Yeah, and Lucy's one of them players who's got real good technical ability, like both feet. I've played with her at Lincoln and I know full well what she's capable of. And again, she could be one of them players that, you know, comes on and may have to take a set piece or whatnot, and could be the difference. I think for her, she'll be buzzing to be there, and I think it's her first major tournament at senior level. I think she'll just relish it and love it, and what an unbelievable experience it is for her.
One player we haven't mentioned, unfortunately, due to injury, is Jordan Nobbs. So we've known for a long time she wasn't going to be picked. Izzy Christiansen as well is another we haven't mentioned, largely due to injury. But we've gone through the talent in this midfield, and it seems as though that actually have almost been replaced. Is that the case, or would they have brought something else that we might miss during this tournament?
I think with Jordan's so unique in the way she plays. No one has the energy that Jordan has. So I think she's been so unfortunate, because it seems to be whenever there's a major tournament, you know, disaster hits for her, and especially this time round. And I think everyone was gutted as soon as they knew she was out of the World Cup. So it's hard to replace Jord. I think you have to play in a slightly different way because the players we brought in bring different qualities to what Jordan does. But I have no doubt, like you said, the players that we've just named are of such a high quality that, you know, we can still go and perform and win this tournament with the players that we've got.
And I guess one of the crucial bits to tournament success is going to be goals, and we'll move on to forwards in our final part.
You're listening to Sportspiel, available on Audioboom, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Sportspiel listeners, and it's time to move on to potentially the trickiest, in terms of picking a starting three, the trickiest area, and that's forwards. I guess, how do you pick three out of this six?
I'm glad I'm not manager.
Is this one of the most exciting forward lines in the tournament? Is that me being biased, or is that an actual truth?
I think we've got a lot to pick from. I think each player brings so many different qualities, and I think if you're an opposition back line, you could potentially be very worried about coming up against England if they're at it and if they're on form, which hopefully they will be.
One player who's been on form all season, Nikita Paris, with 19 goals in the WSL. Moved to Lyon recently. I guess that must be such a well-earned move for her.
Yeah, she's had an unbelievable year. I think her goals speak for herself. And one thing I like about Keats, I don't like when I play, she's a nightmare to play against because she's always at you, she's always moaning and always wanting free kicks or whatnot. But her desire and her work rate is unbelievable. And I think when you go to a World Cup, she's not just one of their players who's just going to score goals and not offer you anything else. You'll see her back in the corner, tracking back, marking a player or, you know, recovering or whatnot. And I think that's huge. And she's very honest in terms of how she plays. And I think with that, she's got so much quality and she just finishes, she just scores goals. So I think for me, she has to play in this team.
It's interesting because a lot of players, you'll say, they started off as goal scorers but then adapted their game. But if anything, she's done the opposite, because she always scored a few goals but would provide more assists. But the last couple of seasons, she scored goals for fun. I guess that must be something that you look at and you see that as so impressive, the fact that she's actually managed to adapt her game and improve that scoring ability.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, having such good players around her helps. You know, a city, she's filled with quality in and around her to provide assists for her, provide balls for her. But I actually think her confidence and her belief in herself has, in the past few years, has grown and grown and grown. And I think now she backs herself every single game without fail to score goals. And that's very important as a forward. If you've got that belief in yourself, you kind of have to be a little bit ruthless. And I think Keats is. And I think it's only going to be a positive for her, hopefully, in this tournament and a career to come.
Is there a case then potentially of suggesting that she could play the central role, or is she most likely going to be playing on the wing?
I think she'll be playing out wide because it seems to like her out wide. She hasn't had, from what I've seen, too many opportunities to play in the nine recently. It's always been out wide. I think she's a great outlet out there, and I think 1v1 against fullbacks, she causes problems, she can cross a ball, and she's very good at timing runs, getting into the box on the opposite side to score goals. She's actually very good in the air as well for her size. So I think she'll be played out wide, but she could always play the nine if needed to.
Going to the other side, it seems like at the moment it's sort of a straight fight between Beth Mead and Tony Duggan for that other role. I guess as well, they must just bring, they both bring completely different qualities. It must be an absolute nightmare to try and decipher who should be playing and who shouldn't be playing.
Yeah, definitely. And again, it's a tough choice for Phil. I think Beth Mead's been unbelievable for this season, and I think very much warrants, you know, the debate that we're having, because I think if you're going on form, you go Beth Mead, because I think she's been so good at finishing and creating. I think she's in the top three in the WSL for assists and goals. And every time she's played for England, she's scored or created recently. So she's put in such a strong case for starting in that team. And obviously with Tony's been in the setup for years and years and years now, and offers different qualities and is very, I wouldn't say she's as direct as what Beth is anymore, but she's very good on the ball and she can see a pass and she can finish. And it's obviously difficult if you don't see as much as Tony now, obviously playing at Barca. So it's a real interesting battle. I think for me, at this moment in time, Beth just edges it.
her, one thing you mentioned there is her assists, and her crosses have been absolutely outrageous recently. I guess that's going to be one of England's key weapons of this tournament, is the width and the crossing from both sides.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Beth's another one of them players to me that seems to play with no fear at the minute. I think because she's had such a good season, confidence is really high, and she seems to be wanting the ball and wanting to create things and taking, you know, risks in the final third. And again, she's another one of them players as well that, a bit like Keats, is very honest off the ball. So she works very hard, she gets back in, she recovers, and I think Phil obviously demands that of his witness. So yeah, she's going to be vital.
Another player we haven't even mentioned yet, Fran Kirby. I guess, is she slightly suffering because of A, the amount of quality in this forward lineup, and also B, because of the formation he's likely to go with? Because we sort of more see her in an attacking central midfielder, don't we, than a wide player.
Yeah, it's hard. I think where she fits in is difficult, because obviously when she plays in a 10, you want her to pick it up between lines and drive at players and cause problems and get on the ball. Fran is best when she's on the ball, I think, because of her profile now, because players know her. A lot of the time when I've seen her play, players have tried to grab that out a little bit and block spaces in between lines so she can't pick up possession. And I think it's frustrating then for Fran, because she wants to be on the ball all the time. But again, when you get on the ball, there's not many that can do what Fran can do, and she's such a huge, huge threat for England. And I'm kind of hoping this tournament is the one where she goes and sets it alight a little bit, because I do believe he will want to play her, because, you know, he's rated her very, very highly. So it would be nice if this was a tournament that sort of Fran really shone.
It was interesting to note that when Fran and Karen Carney came on in the game against Denmark, the quality of the England on the ball just sort of rose quite significantly when they were both on. I don't want to say it, but could her main role at this tournament therefore be as an impact sub?
Don't get me wrong, she'd be an unbelievable impact sub. I think she'll play. I think he will play her. I think if there's a time where he can probably rest her, then I think he may, because it's a long old tournament and you want your better players, your best players fit and fresh. And if that's the case, then you've got an unbelievable option on the bench as an impact sub. But I just think she will play, and we have to figure out a way of getting her on the ball and getting her to make things happen, because she can be key for England.
Two more players who can be key for England, our final two, are the potential central strikers in Jodie Taylor and Ellen White. I wouldn't want to be able to pick between the two of them, but does it seem as though Ellen White at the moment is the slight favourite, or could that change?
I honestly don't know. The way I look at it is, first of all, I think Fran and Jodie link up really well together, and I think we've seen that in the last tournament. I think I was lucky enough to play with Jodie at Lincoln again, and I've never seen anyone with better movement than Jodie, and I think she is very instinctive in front of goal. And I think you look at the last tournament, she won the
golden boot.
So she's proven quality. At the same time, Ellen's record for England is unbelievable, and they're very different strikers. Again, I think it may be in terms of the certain games that they play, because I think when England don't have a lot of the ball, I think, you want someone to work really hard, there's no one who's going to work harder than Ellen, and she will literally throw herself into the bus if she had to. So I think there'll be certain games that suit her. Then again, I think there'll be certain games that suit Jodie, when, you know, you want to get her on the ball and you want to make things happen a little bit. But then they both, like, Els can do that as well, so it's very, very difficult. I think it'd be hard to pick, and I think there'll be a little bit of rotation, if I'm being honest. But then again, he could have it in mind what he wants to do, I don't know. But that for me is a very, very difficult decision, even though I don't know.
The Euros, obviously, when she scored that hat-trick against Scotland and won the golden boot, seemed to be a breakthrough tournament in terms of the general awareness of Jodie Taylor, as in she'd been playing for a number of years, but she spent a lot of her career abroad, and all of a sudden us England fans were more aware of her. I guess that's been a slight disservice to her, because she's actually been a fantastic player for so many years, but we're only sort of facing it the last couple.
Yeah, I think it has. Like you said, she's been unbelievable for so many years. She's always scored goals wherever she's been at. I think she was unfortunate. You know, I don't think her international career worked out under previous managers, and up until Mark came along. And then all of a sudden, she just come out of nowhere and everyone was like, wow, like, Jodie Taylor, like, unbelievable. So yeah, I think it's been tough for her, and I think she probably hasn't got the credit that she probably deserves throughout her career, which is why I'm glad she gets it now, and everyone sort of knows all the dots up against her, like a movement to unbelievable, she can finish, and I think it was great for her at the Euros to shine like she did, and hopefully it happens this tournament again.
And Ellen White, I mean, she's had some horrible, horrible injuries in her career, but she seems to get better. She seems to overcome these injuries, and it doesn't affect her, and she actually gets better with age. I guess is that must be something as a fellow professional that you just have a lot of respect for.
Yeah, I've got a lot of admiration for Ellen. I think her fight and her desire. There's not many players I know who play like that. She does week in, week out, whether she's playing, you know, in a training session or whether it's in the World Cup for England. I think not only that, I think she gets a lot of credit for what she does off the ball, but I don't think she probably gets enough credit for what she does on the ball, because her finishing and her record for England is really, really high. Again, it's really, really high in the WSL, so she's one of them players that when you know you're up against her, you see the team sheet, you're like, okay, Ellen's just playing, it's going to be a tough back line, don't spend too long on the ball, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, I think I again would like this to be a tournament for her to step on and really, really, really shine. And I think she definitely can, whether they're playing or coming on or whatnot. I think they've both got the ability to, you know, really step up.
I think we've comprehensively gone through the England team there, but we're not quite finished yet. We'll be back for more after this short break.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel to find our episodes and other video content.
So it's not just England taking part of this World Cup, although as much as we'd like to think that's the case, there's a few other nations taking part as well. We've already talked about one of your teammates in Jade Moore, but another one, Sophie Howard, is going to the tournament. How buzzing were you when you heard that she'd been picked?
Yeah, really buzzing actually. We broke up a few days before the Scotland squad was announced. So, and I remember on the steps here at Bishop, as I left, I was like, oh, good luck, Soph. Like, and I said, can you go shortly? Like, but I didn't want to say anything. And obviously I've seen the news, so I was really, really happy for her. I mean, she had a really difficult year with injuries, and it's been really frustrating for her. And I'm just glad that, you know, she's been able to sort of get herself back fit and ready for this World Cup, and now gets to go. And obviously last night I watched the game and she, you know, made a bit of a howler but then stepped up and scored the winner, so I was buzzing for her.
Well, I didn't watch the game, but the only thing I've heard is the winner, so obviously yeah. She's done well. Another player who shone in that game for Scotland last night as we talked, Erin Cuthbert. I mean, what a couple of seasons she's had. What is she like to play against?
A nightmare. Bit of a nuisance, to be honest, with her quality and her work rate and everything. Sort of a bit of an all-round player, to be honest with you. And she sort of came out of nowhere. I think the first season we played, I was like, oh, she's decent, like, I like her. And then this season, she's just stepped it up another level. And I think when we played her, not last time, but the first time at their place, we couldn't get near her. She was unplayable. And I think her goals and her performances this season speak for themselves. And it'll be really exciting, actually, to see how she does in this World Cup.
She's one of just a few players that I think we should be looking out for the tournament. Before we sat down and recorded this, we asked you to prepare a few questions. So first of all, which player do you think we should be looking out for this tournament?
I had a couple. I think you can't talk about this tournament not talk about Miedema. For the form that she's been in this season has been frightening. And I think we're better than to put her on the world stage and see how she does. So I think that will be really exciting to see. Mallory Pugh, again, was another player that I picked out as potentially a sort of standout player or a sort of player to watch, because I think her pace, her goal scoring ability, you know, she's been a little bit of a star in the reckoning for America, so it'll be interesting to see her on the world stage. Again, I think and I've picked a lot of this based on goal scorer ability really, but Sam Kerr. And I haven't seen a lot of her if I'm honest, but all I ever hear about is her scoring goals and breaking records. So that would be really exciting to see. And I think, you know, if she's in form for Australia, then, you know, who knows what can happen for them. And then I think the only other player that I probably couldn't not speak about was Kim Little. And I'm really, really happy for her that she's been able to go to this tournament, because she's had such heartbreak with injuries. You know, the last major tournament she couldn't go because she was injured and stuff. And I think she is probably one of the best players I've ever played against in my career. And, you know, even watching her last night, she just makes Scotland tick. She's just so clever on the ball, her runs off the ball. And if Scotland are performing, I have no doubt that she'll be in the centre of it.
I mean, you've named four players there that we obviously have heard a lot about because of their talent, but there are a number of other players who could just potentially come from nowhere this tournament. Have you sort of highlighted any potential breakout stars?
Yeah, I actually had George Stanway as this. I don't know obviously how much she will play, but I genuinely believe she's got the quality and the confidence and belief to go on and sort of be that player who comes on and really, really does make a difference. So I think it'll definitely be interesting to see what she does in this tournament. I kind of had Beth Mead on that as well, just because I think she's obviously very well known in the WSL, but I think world stage is obviously completely different. And I think if she goes into this tournament with the form that she's been showing at Arsenal and in the last few internationals, I think she could be a real standout player for this tournament.
I definitely agree with Beth Mead there. Which underdog team do you think could spring the biggest surprise?
See, I looked at this and obviously it's difficult because I'm not going to lie, I don't know a lot about some of the teams that are going. But I think when I've spoken to people about the tournament, one team that they haven't really said about who actually you should be talking about is probably Holland, because I think they very much fly under the radar in this tournament. I've not heard a lot, you know, obviously the vibe with England is massive, and the USA, you know, everyone's expecting them to go on and win it. France, home nation, is huge. Germans, you can't rule out, but no one really says about the Dutch. And I just think the quality of the players that they've got, the Euros that they had, the momentum that they've got going into this tournament, it's a huge underdog.
So it's so strange how they haven't been talked about, because if you think Miedemar, Van der Donk, Van der Sanden, Van Veen, Darling Gold, just four players there. I'm thinking, like, how are people not considering them? It's a strange
one. It might suit them to go quietly, sort of silent assassins into this tournament. But, you know, I'd be fearful of them. I definitely would. I think they've got a lot of quality and a lot to offer. So it'd be interesting to see how they do.
And on that note, who do you think will win the tournament?
I'm going to say, my head says USA, but my heart says England. It's hard to rule the Americans out, isn't it? Because they've been so consistently good for so, so long. But at the same time, you know, you look at that squad that we've just talked about, that's frightening. And there's a lot that has to go right, obviously, for England to win this tournament. But I don't think there's any better time for them to step up and deliver. So my heart's saying England. So I'm going to say England, but I think that's the patriotic me coming out.
Well, that's exactly what we like. I mean, I've loved this interview. I hope the listeners have as well. Thank you so much. Are you going to be keeping a close eye on the whole tournament then?
Definitely. I'm out for the first England-Scotland game, so that'll be nice. I'm actually back in pre-season after that, but I obviously will be watching all the England games and trying to get as much of the World Cup as I can.
Huge thanks to Remy for coming on and giving us such a fascinating in-depth insight into this Lionesses squad. We're certainly struggling to pick our starting 11, but what will yours be? Let us know by tagging us in your posts on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. @SportsBuildPod is the handle for all of those, or send us an email to sportsbuildpod@gmail.com. We'd love to get your opinions on both the show and just everything we're doing in general.